Amir Sephardi was putting out yesterday that conservatives also descended on Jerusalem, and the left, of course, was trying to compare it to January 6th, just like they did in Brazil and all of these things. But it looks like they're getting desperate, and I want to talk about that quickly, Clay. It looks like they're getting desperate right now. They see people waking up. They see great leaders coming to the fore, and it's like they're trying to throw everything out right now that they possibly can.
I agree with that. I think what's happening, and I'm not a prophetic person, I'm a very fact-driven person, is you have this thing called the Great Reset. And the Great Reset is broken up into what I would call three attacks. Someone could argue about 75 attacks or 85 attacks, but I'm going to focus on the three. The first is medical corruption, medical fraud. They want you to put this RNA-modifying nanotechnology under your skin. RNA-modifying nanotechnology under your skin. The second is a complete assault on our financial system so that you can't really buy or sell or have any stability or trust in the banking system. And the third is they want to destroy the values, the shared values, the shared faith, so that brother against brother, mom against daughter, they want to destroy the values and create a civil war scenario in both Israel and America. So that's what you're seeing. I'm not saying it's going to work or not going to work. What I'm just saying is that's what's happening, and you're seeing an acceleration of that plan.
What do you think we're going to see here in the next few weeks? I mean, if it's any indicator, 7 days, I mean, my goodness, it seems like we're living a decade in a week every week right now.
Yeah, well, Monica Crowley, I thought, again, I don't watch Fox News, but it was kind of funny. A lot of our listeners were texting me this clip, and I want to play this little audio clip here. This is from Fox. I'm going to listen to this because you've been talking about this. I've been talking about this. But for Fox people, normies, they go, what? Watch this real quick here, folks.
Vladimir Putin announced this week that Russia will begin using the Chinese yuan for international payments instead of the dollar. Saudi Arabia is also in talks with Beijing to do the same thing. Speaking of Saudi Arabia, meanwhile, they're in talks with Iran as well to consider an economic alliance with China and Russia. And they can even be joining the BRIC countries, which is an acronym for these countries here, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. What happens if our economy and the U.S. dollar are no longer the world's dominant currency? Former Assistant Treasury Secretary and host of the Monica Crowley podcast, Monica Crowley.
It's really hard to overstate exactly how catastrophic the abandonment of the U.S. dollar would be.
You know, and so again, your listeners have known these things for a long time, but a lot of normies, you know, people that kind of watch ESPN and Fox News, right? These people are going, oh my gosh, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, they are teaming up together to make a new reserve currency. This would be analogous to in 1989, the San Francisco Giants played the Oakland Athletics in the World Series. Could you imagine a good friend of yours showing up in your studio today going, did you know that in 1989, the San Francisco Giants played the Oakland Athletics? Like it's breaking news. Did you know that Seinfeld was a show? Have you seen Back to the Future? I mean, these people are so behind the news of the day, but it's so profound that they're waking up all simultaneously. I do think that is a good thing for those of people like yourself who've been sharing the truth for a long time. And, you know, things that we were called the conspiracy theorists that normally took a year to 2 to 3 to 4 years to play out now are being proven in like a week. You know, so I think for those who are sharing the truth, when I say the truth, the ultimate truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But those of you who are sharing the truth, I feel like you're going to have some wind at your sails here. Also, for those of you who read the Bible, you know, 27% of the Bible is prophetic. One guy got in a pretty intense argument with me last week. He said 25% of the Bible. So we're just going to say over 20% of the Bible is prophetic and approximately 75% of the Bible is historical. But people that read the Bible are going to go, these things are all happening. So I'm not prophetic. I'm not that guy, but I am saying we're seeing the biblical prophetic things come to pass. We're seeing what was called a conspiracy being proven as true, and we're seeing the lies exposed. And I really do hope that America can wake up in time.
So let's move next to the CBDC and what is happening right now with that, because it doesn't look like a collapse to me. And I think you share this sentiment. It looks like a consolidation. They're intentionally trying to consolidate the big banks, and then they're going to try to roll this out. Hey, Clay, if you want access to your money, you can have access through our new system. But by the way, it's so much smoother. It's going to be just so much better for your life. What are you seeing? What are you hearing on that front?
Well, Gilbert Verdean, I want everyone to look this up tonight. Okay, so Gilbert Verdean is the CEO of the company called Quant. Okay, Gilbert Verdean. So if you haven't heard the name Gilbert Verdean, look him up. This is the CEO of the company called Quant. And also things to look up here, and I'll pull this up for your listeners. If we'd all do a Google search right now for Quant, for the quantum.mit, so do a search for quantum.mit, you can see MIT's developed a technology where you can store someone's financial or medical records under their skin. It's called the quantum dot. MIT has also developed the CBDCs, and there's a new organization called the Quantum Network. It's called the quant.network, and that is the technology that the CBDCs will work on. So this is the CEO of the Quant Network, Gilbert Verdean, speaking to a group of people. I just want you to listen to what this guy says, because he doesn't hold anything back. He just says it, and he doesn't apologize for it. So I'm going to hit play here, and I want people to listen. This is Gilbert Verdean explaining the Quant Network. Here we go.
You know, we're shaping Wall Street, you know, simply put. So we've done the opposite. So instead of going door to door, we've gone and partnered with a traditional exchange. So AX Trading already has 800 institutional traders. This is all of Wall Street, you know, and they've got, you know, connectivity to Euroclear here in Europe. So if you think about it, this is it. This is the whole financial capital markets structure.
I think Wall Street are even aware of just how big.
Yes, they have now that they see the potential, and they're all in, and they're all in, and they're all in.
So he's saying that Wall Street is all in. Okay, now that's Gilbert Verdean, that's the head of Quant. Again, I know I spoke a lot of things quickly, so let me try again here. The quantum dot is the technology made by MIT. Everyone should look that up tonight. It stores your medical and financial records under your skin. The CBDCs were made by MIT. All right. The name of the technology that would run the CBDCs is called the Quant.network. And we need to understand that. Now, CERN is located on top of the former Temple of Apollo, which is Revelation 9/11 CERN. And CERN has decided to go with the old 666 theme. So CERN's logo is 666. They're located on top of the former Temple of Apollo. And CERN is powered currently by the Google Quantum Computer. What? Yeah. So the Google Quantum Computer powers CERN. It surpassed the Google Quantum Computer surpassed the IBM computer, the Summit computer, as being the world's most powerful computer. So the whole idea is to connect the whole Earth in this quantum network. That's why the Earth is now covered in 30,000 low orbit satellites. 30,000 low orbit satellites emit the 5G signal. I would call it pentagram. Five is penta, G is gram. But the 5G, 30,000 low orbit satellites cover the Earth in the 5G. And during the lockdowns, you saw 5G towers go up. So during the lockdowns, 5G towers went up. And so now the system is in place to roll out the central bank digital currencies. And so how do they make you want to put the technology under your skin? How can they do that? Well, you're going to start to see the commercialization of this idea of putting this technology under your skin. So Panera Bread was one of the first restaurants to make this announcement this week, the St. Louis-based company. Listen to what they said here, folks.
Well, you can now pay for your Panera sandwich with the palm of your hand. You've heard that right. The restaurant chain partnering with Amazon to test its palm reading payment technology. See it right there on your screen. Right now, it's only available in two St. Louis.
You're starting to see that. And then you're seeing folks like very, very few people, but Senator Ron Johnson said this on Epoch Times the other night here.
People ought to be very concerned, because now what are we going through? A potential bank crisis? Be very concerned about a central bank digital currency, where they can just turn on and turn off your ability to purchase certain goods based on your social credit score. That's what happens in China. Do we want that in the U.S.? I think there's certainly people, the technocrats in the U.S., that would like to see that. And with this banking crisis, all of a sudden we're insuring every deposit, no matter how large. Start asking some questions. Be skeptical.
So again, the idea is we had to create this fear. Remember, the models that said 2.2 million people would die from COVID were false. The polymerase chain reaction tests were falsely calibrated to inflate cases. COVID was treatable with budesonide, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. They withheld that. And the solution was you must put the shots in your body. You must put the RNA modifying nanotechnology shots in your body. It's the only way to protect yourself. Now you're going to see an intentional financial collapse. And they're going to say the only way you can protect your assets, the only way to verify who you are is to put this technology under your skin. The whole idea is to put surveillance under the skin. That is the plan.
Let's talk a little bit about this network. And even General Petraeus talked about this years ago, this idea that every single thing is going to be connected. Your refrigerator is going to be connected to you. It's going to be connected to your TV. It's going to be connected to everything. You walk into a room, boom, they're going to have a picture up there, or they're going to have an advertisement up there specifically tailored to you based on however many data points they have on every single human being. They used to call this, at least in the military time, activity-based intelligence. They have enough information on you that they're going to then be able to introduce stimulus to get you to behave a certain way. Talk a little bit about this from the big picture overview and what some of Klaus Schwab's folks have been doing and talking about in this regard.
Okay, well, as far as what Klaus Schwab's buddies have been talking about, Yuval Noah Harari, just so we're clear, the protests in Israel right now, they're being led by Yuval Noah Harari. I'm not saying this. He's actually leading these things, okay? So this is kind of like the best of the worst. This is what Yuval Noah Harari has had to say recently.
COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. We want to stop this epidemic. We need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin. What we have seen so far, it's corporations and governments collecting data about where we go, who we meet, what movies we watch. The next phase is the surveillance going under our skin. We now see mass surveillance systems established even in democratic countries, which previously rejected them. And we also see a change in the nature of surveillance. Previously, surveillance was mainly above the skin. Now it's going under the skin.
Embedded in his hand is a microchip that serves as his keys, his ID, and his wallet.
Governments want to know not just where we go or who we meet. Above all, they want to know what is happening under our skin.
Okay, they want to know what's happening under our skin. That's the summary. That's Yuval Noah Harari. It's the top advisor for Klaus Schwab. That's what they want to do. And I have a funny story for you that I don't know if this will blow someone's mind or not, but a friend of mine, he asked me to visit him. I'm going to be very vague so I don't get myself in trouble. Okay. Friend of mine calls me. He says, "Hey, man, you got to come visit me." I said, "Cool." He says, "I got a new house. I'm, you know, we're in our 40s. This guy's a hard worker. He just bought a new house a few years back." We go to his house. And I said, "Can I ask you why your garage is open? Because it's been open the entire time I'm here. I'm just curious." And he goes, "I can't shut it." I said, "You can't shut it? What do you mean?" He goes, "I got the smart house thing. And like, there's also certain words I can't say, because it like turns on my TV and my lights. And I also can't turn off my irrigation system." And I'm going, no, you gotta be kidding me. And this is a guy in his 40s, impossibly wealthy. And he goes, "Dude, seriously, a couple things. Don't say this word or that word because it like turns on the lights and I don't know why. And I can't turn off my irrigation system." So I'm at his house. I'm not kidding. His backyard is flooding. I mean, like massive, like we're talking inches of water. And he's starting to like worry about it. It might flood into his house. And I'm going, "Dude, you got to stop that." He's like, I don't know where to tell it to turn off. I can't shut the garage. And I'm going, how is this a good idea? And this was years ago before the Great Reset. And I got a guy who's a wealthy guy who can't. And I'm seeing people like that now. Are you seeing people with these smart fridges that tell you if you're out of milk? Do you need to go get milk? I had a friend I know pretty well. He was driving his Tesla the other day. And he was telling me, "Yeah, I was reading that paperwork while headed to Tulsa." And I said, "Didn't you drive to Tulsa? Because you live in Dallas." And he goes, "Yeah." And I go, "So you were reading the paperwork while driving? What?" And he goes, "Well, my Tesla was kind of an autopilot driving thing." And I said, "So you were reading a legal document while driving to see me?" He said, "Yeah, I don't recommend it, though." I said, "Why not?" He goes, "There's these cones. And I almost like totally went off the road because the Tesla sensors didn't sense that there was major road construction that just happened. And he's like, I could have died. And I'm going, well, yeah. But think about this. This is a guy in his 30s who was reading legal documents while driving to Tulsa. This is a man who is can't turn off his irrigation system or shut his garage door or say certain words in his own house for fear that it will turn on his lights and his TV. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you're seeing this smart, aka dumb technology everywhere. The surveillance state is there, my man. It's there.
It really is. I want everybody to kind of imagine this where you have chips on everything. So even the food in your refrigerator has chips. It broadcasts to your refrigerator. Your refrigerator says, hey, do you want to order more ice cream, Clay? And then you go to your doctor's office and your doctor's like, hey, Clay, I think you're having a little bit too many Haagen-Dazs here in the evening. I think you need to cut down on that. And you haven't told them anything. I mean, this is the kind of sick world these people want us to live in.
Yeah, and it's what you're saying is true, and I just think for a lot of people it's hard to understand this idea of what's called a digital dictatorship. Now, this is a word that I didn't come up with. I didn't sit down and patent this concept. It's called a digital dictatorship. And I want people to listen to what Yuval Noah Harari said when recently asked about what's the future look like for you guys. He says,
folks, I've been warning you about this for months, years on my podcast. Digital IDs are coming. It's only a matter of time. You thought vaccine passports were bad. Digital IDs would be even worse. It'd be the worst surveillance nightmare you can imagine.
We are great. We have these wonderful high-tech companies. We make a lot of money out of it. It raises our power in the world. What can be wrong with it? This debate about privacy versus security is as old as civilization, you can say. But there is something new now. For the first time in history, it's possible to completely eliminate privacy. Mm-hmm. It was just never possible before, and it is possible now. Something fundamental has changed. Mm-hmm. When dictators always dreamt about completely eliminating privacy, monitoring everybody all the time and knowing everything you do, and not just everything you do, but even everything you think and everything you feel. Whether it's a tyrant in ancient Greece or whether it's Stalin, they always dreamt about it. They could never do it because it was technically impossible. Now it's possible. Stalin worked mainly with social engineering. He maybe wanted to re-engineer human biology, but he couldn't. He dreamt about creating a new man, a new human, the new Soviet, but he only had social engineering. So in the end, when the Soviet Union collapsed, you still have human beings like they were in 1917. And we start again. In the 21st century, a new Stalin might have the ability first to really re-engineer the body down to the level of DNA and create new human species, and perhaps even to create completely inorganic life forms. Anything which is possible is also natural. It's in line with the laws of nature. When somebody tells me how they are now using CRISPR to try and overcome Parkinson, I think, what would Stalin have done with it?
U.S. intelligence shows China is using advanced technologies like gene editing and brain control weapons to advance its military and to crush dissent.
There it is. I mean, this is real stuff.
You know, the fact that he is saying that Joseph Stalin is almost a superhero is so beyond disgusting. The mass murdering dictator of the former Soviet Union is somehow a superhero we should emulate. This is incredible. And again, like you said before, people have a hard time really believing this. So this brings us to kind of the last part of the show here. What do you think people should be doing about this, Clay? I mean, how can people wake up in an effective manner? We're seeing protests in France. We're seeing the conservatives descending on Jerusalem in Israel. We're seeing the farmers in the Netherlands waking up. And we're seeing people here in the United States waking up. But it's always the question of, okay, you're awake. What can they do to be effective so these people, these absolute maniacal dictator, just megalomaniacs, don't have control over our families?
Okay, so I would just say this. If you vetted them and you feel good about them, I would encourage everyone to at least schedule a consultation with your gold and silver buyer because, you know, again, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, they're all hoarding the earth's gold. So I would encourage you to schedule a consultation with your gold and silver provider of choice. Just at least schedule a consultation because I'm telling you, you're going to see a collapse of the U.S. dollar. It's going to happen. I'm not prophetic. Okay. It's just part of the BRICS plan. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Second, you got to be stocked up on some kind of food. And I'm not talking about you don't need to, you know, I'm not saying, wow, you need to grow a beard and go Amish. I'm not saying that, although I, you know, that's kind of where I'm trending. But I would recommend people do stock up on some kind of food. My Patriot Supply is a company I recommend. I don't have a promo code for them, but My Patriot Supply. I also work with a company called Sherwood.TV. I recommend them a lot. They do organic food designed to last a long time. That's Sherwood.TV. Third is whether it be our event, the Reawaken America Tour, or other events, find people that are bold and courageous enough to speak the truth and find a way to team up with them and support them. Because the reason why my events are happening and why you do the events you do and the shows you do is because we want to share the truth with as many people as possible. We need to share the truth with as many people as possible. So I encourage people, if you want to go to timetofreeamerica.com or taking the Reawaken America Tour to Trump Doral in May, the Trump Doral, that's Miami, Florida in May. We're also taking the Reawaken America Tour to Las Vegas, Nevada in August. And at these events, I don't do teleprompters. I don't take on big sponsors. I let people name their price. We make it affordable. We want it to be a family event. But these speakers that come, these are the battle-bruised and worn people that are fighting back. You know, Dr. Scott Jensen, the doctor from Minnesota, Ian Smith, the gym owner from New Jersey, Dr. Mikovits, General Flynn, Cash Patel, Eric Trump. These are the people that are really in the fight, and they come to these events to share the truth. And you might feel like you're cheering for them, but they're actually, they're encouraged by you. I mean, you might feel like, wow, you're there to see them and you're excited. They're excited to see you. And so I would encourage you to get your tickets at timetofreeamerica.com. There's 70 plus speakers that'll be there. And we've started to have more elected officials that have came to these events. We had the Attorney General of Texas who's been to these events. We're having people that show up and they say, Clay, the things I am talking about, like Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson, he became friends with Thomas Renz, the attorney, and he's now speaking out against CBDCs. A top advisor for Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, he's came to the Reawaken America Tour events and has reported back to her. So I would just encourage you, get out to the Reawaken America Tour, and you can get those tickets at time2freeamerica.com.
So who do you recommend as a gold and silver place to go for people that are really, you know, concerned about the direction of the country?
Speak from what I do. So I bought gold and silver for years from a company called goldline.com. I heard about them through Glenn Beck. They did a very good job. I have no problem with goldline.com. I currently buy from a company called bh-pm.com, Beverly Hills Precious Metals, because I buy so consistently. I started reaching out to a buddy of mine who owns banks years ago, and he told me, he says, you know, if you're going to be buying like you do monthly, it's not an emotional purchase for me. It's just a set percentage of my income. He said, you really should work with a buyer that you know. And so I go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals. It happens to be the same buyer that General Flynn, Peter Navarro, Laura Trump, and many other conservatives go to. But whether you're going to go to Goldline or Beverly Hills Precious Metals, book a consultation today. You really need to take action today.
That's awesome. Thank you, Clay. Really appreciate everything you're doing. Thanks for being on Patriot Radio once again. Keep up the fight. Look forward to seeing you down the road.
We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.
All right. Clay Clark, Reawaken America Tour. Also, Thrive Time Show. And you can find him at thrive15.com. And the Reawaken America Tour site that you can always go to is timetofreeamerica.com. Timetofreeamerica.com. And Travis is going to be putting that in the comments so you can go link into that and just check it out. And if you can make it to one of these, even though it's maybe somewhere else in the country, maybe you can combine a visit with family, but try to make it to one of the Reawaken America tours. It's just absolutely amazing. We had them here at the State Line in Idaho. Absolutely fantastic. A great place to connect with other patriots in the area and other Christians in the area as well. All right. I want to just highlight something that he was talking about. So we didn't give it a name, but it has a name. It's called the Internet of Things. And you go search this on Now, unfortunately, one of the best search engines out there now is Quant, but it's Q-W-A-N-T. So don't use DuckDuckGo anymore unless you're just doing a search you don't care about. So just go on a search engine, type in Internet of Things. You're going to see a whole bunch of people talking about it. But again, it's the idea that every single thing is interconnected, that our TVs are interconnected. They're watching us. What we watch when we're on the internet, it's tracking every site that we go to. Like I was talking about in the refrigerator, like if your, you know, 2 liter of Coke is getting low, the chip's going to be monitoring that stuff. It's going to transmit to the refrigerator. Then you're going to get an option in the morning. Hey, Travis, do you want to buy more whatever? Hey, Travis, maybe you want to try something different, another brand like Pepsi. And it will be this kind of life. But the insidious part of this is something I alluded to called activity-based intelligence, ABI. And it's the idea that a dossier can be created on every single human being, and that based on that and those data points, they can then introduce stimulus into your life and get you to behave a certain way. And we're already seeing it predominantly in the inner city, but we're seeing it in the suburbs as well. And it is, I have enough information on you that I can advertise to you, mother of three, at the exact moment you're dropping your kids off to school in the morning, on the radio and on the internet, and you will see it regardless of what you tune into. It's already happening. Now, a lot of people try to defend this and say, well, it's just to give you better products and a better customer experience, right? But the more insidious part of this is to get people to change their behavior, or worse, ignore tyranny that's right in front of their face. Now, I'm going to give you an example of this as we go now into your daily intelligence briefing. We're going to go first to the international front. Actually, you know what? We're going to go first to the national front. This coming to us from our Western Journal. Now, everybody has probably already heard of the Covenant school shooter down in Tennessee. Transgender, obviously very confused person. But if you look on the mainstream media right now, that last little fact that I talked to you about, a biological female acting as a male, you'll see it completely scrubbed from the internet. And I'm talking about the main internet and the news. The way that they're talking about it now is totally different. And why I think this is important, and why I think it's important to highlight, why I think it's important to show to your friends, your family, is because if we don't, our family members are going to continue down, our friends are going to continue down that road that says, nothing really to see here. This is much ado about nothing. Why are you guys trying to bring this up? It's not really that big a deal. Now, I want to talk to you also about this. It's not that this person is transgender, okay? It's about people's mental state and the fact that there were tons of warning signs ahead of time, and that confusing our children, abusing our children through this whole transgender agenda is what this is really about. Now, we as a country should not allow this to happen any longer. We as a state should not allow this to happen any longer. Our kids deserve better. And we're in a place right now where so many people are so confused that if we don't do something, we're just going to continue to see more of this stuff. And Travis, I hope you could put that up there real quick, that article from Western Journal. I want you to see that even in a time where it is dark, even in a time where it's dark, that Jesus is still present, that there is a thing that I think in the church today has been so twisted, and that is this, that somehow we just have to let things get worse and there's nothing we can do about it, when in fact Jesus Christ is moving every single day, and he is just turning horrible tragedies into lessons, but also he's preventing them from being worse than they actually are. So I want to go to that right now in this article from Western Journal. So first of all, police say that this person meticulously planned an attack and left behind a manifesto. Now, just to be really clear, because they throw the word manifesto around in the mainstream media, a manifesto actually has to be full, complete sentences, not bullet points, okay? So this is full, complete sentences. And the contents of the manifesto were yet to be released Tuesday morning. Monday evening, Nashville police gave a disturbing look into the shooter's psyche. This is a quote from the article. All right, amid photos of the damage done to Covenant Church and police cars, the department released images of the three murder weapons. And they were adorned with several strange symbols. And this is where I want to kind of hone in on this right now. There are, obviously, you know, we need to be lifting up the family right now. But we know this. This is part of a concerted effort, and I'm going to get into the NAR here in a second, a concerted effort to divide the church with the intent to destroy it, but it's also a concerted effort to begin Christian persecution in this country. Now, right on the heels of an attack on Christians, now, yes, this was a narrative attack, this was a verbal attack, right on the heels of an attack on Christians in Tennessee, you see something like this happen. And we're seeing increases in persecution against Christians all over the country right now. Now, we can talk about reasons, but the fact is there's an increase. Some things have just happened here at On Fire Ministries. Somebody put blood on a Bible, tore the Bible, threw it into the parking lot, and it is being investigated right now as a hate crime. Now, you don't see that in the local media out there. Of course, they wouldn't want to publish anything like that. But the fact is the rhetoric from the left and the rhetoric from the Marxists and the socialists is creating an environment where this kind of behavior is becoming acceptable. And so you see where people walk into a church like this, and by all appearances, and according to this Western Journal article, these are sincere believers in Jesus Christ. And you also see that this could have been a ton worse had it not been for the heroic effort of some first responders. But I want you to read this article, because it talks about how Jesus himself, and I don't want to spoil it too much, Jesus himself stopped the shooter from going any further. So even in the darkest moments, even when there's so much confusion, even when Christians are being persecuted, Jesus can step right into a situation and stop it. Now, this stuff gets me a little bit emotional, because many people didn't believe that we would see Christians persecuted in our time. Overseas, we have seen that. I've trained people overseas in how to operate in a very hostile environments to Christians, and now the conversation is here in the United States. Is it here? It's here. All right, I want to jump back out now to the international front. We're going to go to Twitter. After a weekend of protests and the beginning of many worker strikes in Israel, the National Security Minister announced that the judicial overhaul program was going to be delayed, yet the protests continue. What you are not seeing, and Amir Sephardi has put this out, you can see it on his Telegram channel, is that tens of thousands of conservatives have also descended on Jerusalem. And so now we see a split right now in Israel, which is what they're trying to do. They're trying to split countries with the intent of destroying them. All right. We're seeing in the United States, we're seeing in Israel, as we talked about with Clay Clark. Also want to mention on the international front, FTX founder Bankman-Fried bribed Chinese officials with $40 million in crypto. This is coming to us from the Epoch Times. And that was according to the DOJ. So we have these ties to the very wealthy Democrats in this country and the Chinese party now, the Chinese Communist Party. You're seeing this now coming out, and this evil has continued to be exposed. And so as things do get darker in this seeming world out there, things are getting darker, right? Know that the light is exposing this stuff right now. This stuff wouldn't have been exposed maybe 10 years ago, maybe 3 years ago even. But it's here. All right. Now I want to get into the last thing on the national front. James O'Keefe strikes again. Biggest drop since Acorn Gateway Pundit. Travis, we can bring that article up. O'Keefe Media exposes vast network of Democrat donation harvesters caught in criminal acts breaking tomorrow. So stay tuned for that on James O'Keefe's new network. Millions of dollars in donation harvesting crossing numerous states. Well, I'm just going to give you a heads up that Washington has been central to what James O'Keefe is under, well, that he is uncovering. Let's just put it that way. And we need to, and many people out there are realizing this, you can go on the Federal Election Commission website and see what are called micro donations under about $20. You can see these micro donations going out. And when you see the 80-year-old grandma in rural Kansas giving $150,000 in a year, okay, you may have stumbled onto something that needs to be investigated. So check it out on your own, but watch what happens here in the next couple of days and what's about to be exposed as well. This is part of exposing the evil that's out there with the light of God. And we are supposed to expose evil. Ephesians 5, 11 through 12. We're not supposed to participate in the fruitless deeds of darkness, instead expose them. Because some Christians apparently have an issue with doing that. So now we're going to move to the thing we have been exposing here recently, and that is this narrative line attack called the New Apostolic Reformation. Now, it was started, as we have detailed, in 2011 during that election season because a lot of charismatic candidates were on the ballot, and it started with National Public Radio, and also later the Daily Coast. I went through and I read in their own words what they tried to claim the NAR is. And what's interesting is I read too what some Christian sources say the NAR is. None of them match. None of the names match. In fact, some people have accused Clay Clark of being part of the New Apostolic Reformation. General Jerry Boykin, Family Research Council. Some big names that are out there, and you can never get the same real general definition. We went through, this is fifth generation warfare using the Maoist insurgency model. We went through that the narrative line attack is for the intent of dividing this country and dividing our culture with the intent of destroying it. And we also went through that they will skew definitions. They will take definitions that have traditionally meant one thing and try to skew them into something else, like theocracy. Literally nobody I've ever talked to wants a weird beard, Ayatollah, Iranian-type regime in the United States. No one. So it's a lie. It's a falsehood. No one has ever claimed that somehow apostles are going to lead every mountain of government to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Nobody has ever said that. And Daniel Kalinda actually brought that out as well. There's nobody that's saying that apostles are somehow going to lead all these different mountains. So again, a lie. So you got to ask yourself, if you have people inside the church of Jesus Christ, inside the body of Christ, doing false witness like that, how can that possibly be helpful? Well, it is helpful. It's helpful to the other side. It's helpful to the Marxists. So I want to go through a few things that we also mentioned that they consider part of this new apostolic reformation. All right? And one of them is dominionism. We talked about that last time, but it's a part of dominionism. And it's called millennialism, or the idea that the millennium is happening now. That is post-millennialism, or the idea that the millennium is in the future, pre-millennialism, excuse me. Now, I want to read a few things. Wikipedia. First, I'm going to start with post-millennialism from the man who most people consider to be the author of modern dominionism. In fact, he wrote a book, David Chilton, about Paradise Restored. Quote, historic Christian view known as post-millennialism, the teaching that before the second coming of Christ, the world will be successfully evangelized and discipled to Christianity, end quote. So people that are again saying dominionism is somehow taking over everything. It's not what it said. It said discipled. And he does give examples of what that means, but successfully evangelized and discipled, he's talking about preach the gospel to all creation and make disciples of all nations. That's what he's talking about there. I don't agree with the post-millennial view. This might shock many of you. I don't agree with it. But the problem is that has now been like shoehorned in as something nefarious when it's actually been a historic view of the church since Augustine in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th centuries. It started in the 3rd century and moved into and was most prominently expounded upon by Augustine. Now, from Christian Library, quote, in short, Augustine regarded the millennium as a present spiritual reign by Jesus Christ in the earth, and that the second advent of Christ would be at the end of this period, that it would be post-millennial, end quote. August 1st, 2015, benspen.com said this, quote, the recent catechism of the Catholic restates the view advanced by St. Augustine in the 5th century. All of history since the time of Christ is the millennium, end quote. Now, there's another article that goes into this. This is an article by John J. Riley, Millennium and the Roman Catholic Church. And he's talking about and citing specifically from a Vatican II document. So the quotation is from the Vatican II document, Lumen Gentium, chapter 48, section 3. All right, then he continues. Christ's kingdom already manifests its presence through the miraculous signs that attend its proclamation by the church, end quote. So even the Catholic Church believes in modern miracles and miraculous signs and is post-millennial. So when people are attacking dominionism, and they're meaning post-millennial dominionism, they're attacking the Catholic Church, they're attacking at least several hundred million Christians, and yet they said in one of the previous articles that dominionism is a very concerning thing, and they tried to imply that not a lot of people in the church really believe this, when in fact, not only is it a historic view, going back to the 5th century, but also there's a lot of Christians in the world that do believe it. Now, I do not believe this. So I'm going to just highlight this. So the difference we're really talking about regarding dominion is this. David Chilton was a dominion post-millennialism preterist. In other words, we would usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ through our actions. Catholic Church is a dominion post-millennialism partial preterist. There is no ushering in. And I and virtually everyone I know, now this is talking me personally, Pastor Matt Shea of On Fire Ministries, I and virtually everyone I know are none of the above, except that we believe Christ's kingdom manifests through signs, wonders, and miracles and spiritual gifts in our present time. And we believe, like the early church fathers, so before the 3rd century, the early church fathers, that there will be a literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth, and that was to come. In fact, that's been part of our statement of faith for a very long time. So anybody that tries to say that On Fire Ministries is part of the NAR, well, you got a problem now, and that's, again, false witness. Because you can't have your own definitions of things. So on millennialism, again, the idea is labeling people you don't like. And really, it's a theological discussion. But trying to label people you don't like or you disagree with something that the left is using to divide the church, I don't think anybody should be a part of that. I want to talk about the seven mountains very quickly, too, because this comes up quite a bit. Seven mountains of culture. Seven mountains of culture. Well, the idea that Christianity should not influence the culture? Well, tell that to the early church. We don't have a temple of Artemis anymore. We don't have temple prostitutes anymore. We don't see oracles anymore because they were all destroyed. And all the temple prostitutes lost their jobs because of the influence of Christianity in every part of the culture. Christian businesses were influenced by, or were an influence of the culture and the business culture. That's why we had honest money. That's why they went away from the clipping the Romans did around the coins and all of these things. So people that say Christianity shouldn't influence the culture, well, that's just not Christianity then. And so what happens is people say, well, they say that they don't want to just positively influence culture. They actually want to take over. And how do we know? Because we've listened to their teachings and we can hear it in their voice. Well, that's not an argument either. So right now we're going to go through a video. Travis is prepared, and we are going to rebut the points, point by point right now, of what people have said in their own words is the NAR. Go ahead, Travis.
The New Apostolic Reformation, or NAR, is an unbiblical religious movement that emphasizes on spiritual warfare and a pursuit of cultural and political control in society. The New Apostolic...
Go ahead, stop it. Okay, so nobody ever said anything about control. That's read in. What we said is influence, and that's what Jesus Christ has called us to. So you see how they insert a word there, and there's never a citation to it. There's never a citation to it. Everybody, including I read C. Peter Wagner's own quotes, even though I disagree with him theologically on some things, I read his own quotes. He never says anything like that. The other thing is, and very oddly, spiritual warfare is very clearly depicted in Ephesians 6. Go ahead, roll it.
Like Reformation teaches that God's intended form of church governance is apostles and prophets. However, this has not been the case for the vast majority of Christian history.
Go ahead and stop. Good, stop. Now, notice the thing there. It hasn't been the case for the vast majority of Christian history. Well, really, the reason he says it that way is because the early church believed this, again, up until Augustine's time and after the Council of Nicaea and Constantine, where there was a change in the church. Before that, Hippolytus writes about and lists 70 apostles who were the leaders of the church in the early church time. So he can't say, well, he has to hedge because the history of the early church is exactly opposite of what he's teaching. And by the way, it didn't end with the original apostles and prophets. It continued for at least 300 years. Go ahead,
Ron. So, according to the New Apostolic Reformation, God began to restore prophets and apostles over the last 30 to 40 years.
Okay, go ahead, stop that. Well, you're going to have a hard time talking about the, again, Catholic Church writing with documents from the 8th century, but writing in the 12th century about Patrick, quote, the Apostle of Ireland, end quote. Go ahead, roll it.
Or to the point, the office of apostle requires traits that are impossible today. For example, true apostles must be personal eyewitnesses of the risen Christ, specifically designated as apostles by Jesus. And
go ahead, stop it. That is a very much false statement. Now, I understand the type of apostle he's talking about. He was talking about the original 12 when they voted in somebody to replace Judas. Yes. But after that, how about the Apostle Paul? How about the apostles talked about later in Acts? And the Apostle Paul was writing in a very much later time frame. Most people put it around 80-60 He was talking about apostles and prophets helping to build up the church. How do you explain that? And then also, how do you explain Hippolytus, one of the early church fathers, documenting 70 apostles? So that's just not the way the early church believed. It couldn't have been. Otherwise, they would not have listed these in official documents.
Already verified by miraculous signs, the new apostolic reformation overtly encourages Christian control over politics, culture, and business. The new apostolic
reformation. What's your, cite something. Tell me where that is. Tell me where one person has said, we are going to control everything. That's never what it said. It said, we're going to evangelize and disciple. And we should do that anyway as Christians, even though I don't hold a post-millennial view. I hold a pre-millennial view. We still should be out there making disciples. We still should be out there preaching the gospel. We still should be out there positively influencing culture. Nobody said anything about control. You're reading that in. And again, this is somebody that is taking Marxist talking points and making them their own, because this is what was started by the Marxists in 2011.
Reformation, however, is often accused of pushing for outright theocracy. The movement is not centrally controlled, and many of its followers will not—
Go ahead and stop. Nobody, like literally no one has advocated for what would actually more perfectly be known as an ecclesiocracy, as we played from Doug Wilson, who defined it very well. Nobody's advocating for the weird beard system of government that is in Iran to happen in the United States. No one says that. A theocracy, though, or where God governs, well, isn't God supposed to govern in all of our lives? So they have a real problem there. Same thing with theonomy, where it's God's law. Shouldn't all Christians follow God's law? What do you mean by that? This is twisting of words and trying to shoehorn this stuff in. Okay, one more short clip and then we're going to go.
Self-identify as part of it or even recognize the name. All the same.
Okay, good, stop. So he has to admit that the people that they try to label are saying, we're not part of that. We don't believe what you're saying we believe. And that is the show today. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you. And he is making this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight. The awakening's here.